Blog Talk Radio.
Chemical Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Big show for you today, but really quick, if you're looking for some wrestling, we got a few big shows going on. KDW happening in Jeffersonville, Indiana at the arena, like usual. Up in our neck of the woods, you can find me at NWA Blue Collar Wrestling at the North Portland Eagles there in Portland, Oregon. You also have Championship Wrestling from Hollywood in Port Huneme, California today. And absolutely stacked, huge card like usual from Heroes and Legends happening in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Pre-show is ongoing right now. And without further ado, today it is Trainer's Day here on Turnbuckle Turmoil, talking about training people for professional wrestling, going to the men that are responsible for producing the newest crop of professional wrestlers, keeping our business alive. So far with us right now, we have with us one of the men that is producing the new crop of gouge rookies, as a matter of fact, Seymour Snot. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for taking time on your Sunday to be with us.
Thanks for having me, Shine Guy.
For the people that are not familiar with this aspect of your career, could you tell us a little bit about what led to you going into training people for a career in professional wrestling?
Well, I went to the APW boot camp in the late 90s, and I was trained by Michael Modis, Donovan Morgan, Frank Murdoch, and It was a real thorough camp, so it wasn't just, you know, you go in there and take a few bumps or get beat up or whatever, and then they just throw you in the ring to work shows. I mean, it was real thorough. There was a beginner's class, and then there was a semi-pro class. So I did that, and, you know, I completed it, and, you know, and then I started working shows and that. And then after a while, people just started coming up to me after a few years, and they're like, hey, you know, it's like, could you show me how to get into wrestling? And it's like, sure, you know, just let me find a ring and I'll show you what to do. So I kind of go by the basics. You know, you start off and just, you know, you kind of have to learn how to crawl before you can walk and everything, and a lot of it is repetition, you know, just keep doing it over and over again till you get it right. So you know, you can teach a lot of people the mechanics and the basics, but a lot of it is up to themselves too. Like, do they have the charisma? Do they have a personality? Do they have the it factor? Do they really want to train to do this? And sometimes, you know, you get a lot of people that do want to do it. A lot of times you get a lot of people that they get halfway through and they're like, nah, this isn't for me, you know, I don't want to really do it. So, but, you know, overall, you know, like with gouge, you know, it's pretty cool, you know, like to introduce some new guys into the business and train them the way at least I felt I was trained coming up. So, you know, hopefully that there's going to be a few people that will take advantage of it, love wrestling as much as I did, can actually go further than I can. So I think that'd be the true mark of a successful trainer.
When you first started training people, did you have your eye on having this as like a post-injuring career? Did you have visions of establishing a school, or when you first started, was it just people wanted to get into the business, you needed new talent, and so you started working with them?
Actually, it was something that I was looking at doing after I kind of stopped doing it in ring. I think I would, you know, I would mind training guys to, you know, to learn the aspects of the business and that. And I think it'd be a great time. But the thing is to learn it the proper way, you know, like everything from like the bottom up, you know, you know, it's thorough. And, you know, I had a, you know, I was lucky when I found Timmy Lou Retton to train him, you know, because he took it very seriously, still does to this day. And, you know, I see a lot of other people out there. Sometimes they want to throw guys in the ring, like after they've only been training for like a week or so. And it's like, you know, still kind of, you know, let's keep everything till they, you know, they learn, you know, have a good foundation first, you know. But yeah, definitely it's something I've always saw as like something to do, like after I'm done wrestling, for sure.
We talk about Gouge, and of course the champion there, Timmy Lou Retton, is someone that you trained. I don't think it's a secret within wrestling that you are his trainer. He, in the last year or two, has blown up. He's all over the map, travels extensively, is doing very, very well. When you see a guy like Timmy Lou Retton and you see his progression to where he is really doing very well and is getting noticed by bigger stages, what does that say to you as a trainer for that guy? What are you thinking when you see a guy that you've trained get to that point?
Basically that I did a good job, you know, and I was lucky enough to have him as a good student. And, you know, it just makes me, you know, it's one of those things I can be proud of and say, you know, hey, look, you achieved this much, you know, and that's great, you know. So there's a lot of pride behind it. You know, it's definitely like a, you know, you want to see your creation go further and succeed. So I think that's definitely, it's a big plus.
You referenced this a little bit, but something that we've seen everywhere, but especially up here in the Northwest, I've seen this quite a bit. In the last 15 to 20 years, there's been a proliferation of guys that don't really finish wrestling training, but then they'll get a wrestling ring, start a promotion, and they'll start training guys so they can have enough of a roster to run their shows. The people doing the training not train themselves, and then their students do something similar to where they're even less trained than the guy that wasn't trained, and so forth and so on. I know you've seen it happen before as well. What goes through your mind when you see someone that shouldn't be training wrestlers in charge of a wrestling school or doing wrestling camps where they're teaching other people to get into the business?
It's basically the way I look at it is, you know, like if you can't complete wrestling school on your own, there's no need for you to be training guys to do this. You know, if you can't make it through yourself and then decide, well, you know, I'll just open up my own wrestling school. It's like, you know, you might have access to the money and the time to do that, but when it comes to the knowledge, it's like you're basically just screwing everybody else out of their, you know, out of their time and their money too, you know. You want to be in there and you want to be able to, you know, you don't want to get hurt. You want to be safe when you're in there. And, you know, it's like the saying goes, it's not valet, but still, you know, you are dealing with, it's definitely something that's, that can be dangerous. And if you're not properly trained and you haven't completed it or you've been lazy or whatever, you're dealing with a human life in that ring. And, you know, you mess up, it's like, you know, it's on you. So, you know, my thing of advice is, you know, find a reputable wrestling school, find a reputable wrestling trainer. You know, you're going to go through a lot of stuff for it. You may hate it, but at least get through it and just get to where, like, I mean, you're going to deal with criticism no matter what. I mean, everybody gets it, you know, but to sit there and say, well, I don't really want to deal with this. And then, like, a few months later, you start your own wrestling promotion. It's like you're just screwing yourself and you're going to screw someone else out of it. And, you know, it ends up pretty bad, so.
And let's take the listeners through what they would be able to expect if they were to go through your training. Take us through what someone that came to you and you accepted to train them for wrestling day one, and what would the process be up until they got to the point where they're on their very first professional show?
Well, usually day one, which is like I do like a tryout, which is it starts off, you know, like we just try to do a few basic rolls and then work up to like, you know, taking a few bumps and that. And really once you start getting your bumps down, your rolls down, then we start going up through things like locking up, you know, your basic headlocks, your arm bars, you know, the mechanics of what make, you know, like of what makes wrestling work, you know. I try to get guys to learn how to, you know, run the ropes the right way without getting killed, because we've seen a lot of guys try to run the ropes and, you know, they fall all over themselves. It's just, it's a progression, and it's one of those things where I always believe you do it by repetition, you know, like, you know, one, you know, you might start off just doing rolls and then bumps, and then, you know, the next time you're doing that, and you're adding to locking up and you're getting used to being in the ring and that, it's getting used to it. I'd say probably, with Timmy, he was probably like the best one that I could use it as example, because, you know, he went in for like, I want to say I probably trained him for about 3 or 4 months. You know, and he got a lot of stuff down. Really, you know, he's a natural at what he does. And by the time he got to his first match, you know, his first match really was just a battle royal, you know, which is fine. You know, it's a good way to introduce guys into being in the ring and stuff like that, or refereeing, you know, it's a good way to introduce everyone and to get comfortable in front of a crowd. And then when you get up to that first match, it's like, you know, you want to make sure you've got everything down that you've learned in, you know, 6 or 7 months, and then just you go out there and do it. It's one of those things where, like, you know, you learn the basics. You may not use everything when you're in your first match, but you definitely have to have that good foundation to get in there to have that first match, if I make any sense like that, so.
I'm sure you've come across a lot of people that wanted to get into the business but didn't totally understand what it took as far as physical conditioning and being in shape enough to get through the training. What's some of the things that you've come across as a trainer from guys that were unprepared for the physical element of wrestling training?
I would say the biggest one is they aren't prepared to get to take a beating, you know, to basically fall in the ring, you know, to take take bumps, because you know, everybody does think that, you know, wrestling rings are just giant mattresses or giant trampolines, and, you know, once you start taking bumps, it's a whole different story, you know. And a lot of guys come in there and they have the attitude like they're going to, you know, they're going to be the next big star. And once they get slammed for the first time, it kind of changes their mind real quick. So it's really one of those things where you have to prepare to just basically go balls out and get beaten up. So that's the best way to put it, in my opinion.
I don't know what kind of sick person would have 2x4s and steel beams underneath their trampoline.
Right.
Now, for the benefit of those that are listening to this and they're considering getting into the wrestling business and they haven't had any training yet, what's some of the advice you would give someone both looking to find the proper place to train and for being ready once they get there?
Well, I would say the basic one is, you know, find someone that's a reputable trainer, find someone that's actually been around for a few years or so that has had some experience, you know, at least so that they have a connection with someone that they can get you on to shows. When you first start out, you know, as well as I do, you know, there's a lot of paying dues and stuff like that. And a lot of guys aren't prepared for that. You know, they think that, you know, they just come to wrestling training and that's it, or they come to shows and they just watch everything, but they don't understand, you know, there's a lot of ways you start from the bottom to work your way up. I would just, you know, like, there are a lot of good schools out there. It's just a matter of finding them and then being prepared to, you know, to pay for them, because a lot of wrestling schools, you know, they do charge, you know, and a lot of guys, they do go by this thing where, like, they're like, oh, I got to pay for this or I got to do that. And it's like, yeah, you know, it's, you know, nothing in wrestling is really free. So, but once you find a, if you find a school or a trainer that's reputable, you know, make sure they have connections to get you at least onto shows too. You just don't want to be out there and be kind of like, well, you know, I don't have any place to do this on. You know, and there's some places that do run, you know, that do run shows, and then they do advertise that they can train people, but then you see a lot of these guys that they were never trained that well themselves. So, reputation is one thing. That's probably the best thing to go by. Any connection that they have to, like, a promotion, you know, someone that runs shows, that's another. I really wouldn't expect you, you know, the one thing I can tell people is, you know, don't go into wrestling thinking that, you know, you're going to strike it rich immediately. You know, you're there's going to be a lot of times, you know, you're going to be looking at your wallet saying, man, I wish I had, you know, I don't know if I should be doing this, but make sure you've got a job lined up and you've got other options too, just in case wrestling isn't your thing.
Now, obviously the physical aspect is a huge thing in professional wrestling, but there's more to it than that. You have to have the ability to speak. You have to be able to merchandise yourself. There's all sorts of things that make up a professional wrestler. Do you, when you train guys, go into the aspects that are not physical, like in-ring type of things, or is that something that the individual has to sort of learn as they go?
You know, I like to try and give people, you know, like, the thing is, you know, we all, you know, there's like, there's that one part of the wrestling business, and we all know what it is, the entertainment part. And, you know, you can be a really good in-ring guy. You can know all the moves. You can, you know, you can do things. But you have to be able to convey almost like a showmanship aspect of what we do, you know. And you know, there's little things, you know, you can tell someone. It's like, you know, don't do this, don't do that. As far as, like, gimmicks and that, you know, like, I don't see a lot of guys – you know, there's not a whole lot of thought sometimes with the gimmick part too, because it's like everybody almost wants to be themselves, which is fine. But you have to remember you're appealing to a mass audience of people, and, you know, being, you know, Joe Smith may not be the character everybody really wants to see, you know. You know, you have to kind of look around and think of things that people would remember you by, and how they would remember your name and your character and your gimmick and that. Having your basics, knowing how to wrestle, that's the one part. But then getting to the next level, you really have to, like, turn it up a notch to come up with that character.
I've come across places that teach promo skills. They have interview classes where guys are trying to teach people how to properly convey what they want in a time frame that they would normally have and so forth. Do you find that a lot in your area with the schools that are out there?
I do, and I think that's fine. It's, you know, it's good to learn how to talk and to because, I mean, you never know when you're going to be called up to do it. So the best way I would say to learn how to talk is just research quotes and puns, as far as I'm concerned. You know, you want to kind of appeal to everybody. And there are people that say, oh, we got to, you know, let's do some promos. And I think the best period of time, I think, was when guys actually talked and conveyed themselves, as like in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s, before everything was written for them like today. So, but it's good that, you know, wrestling schools do have that, because, you know, that's just another part of trying to make yourself marketable.
Obviously, you went to a very, very reputable school to get trained. I know you've wrestled a lot of guys that have come through various different reputable schools. If we take you out of the equation, if someone was looking to get into the business and they came to you for advice on where to go, what are some of the schools that currently exist that you would most recommend to someone?
I would actually recommend, I mean, you know, you're going to pay for it, but, you know, there's definitely, you know, there's the APW boot camp, which is still around out in California. You know, you have in North Carolina, I think CWF Mid-Atlantic has a pretty darn good wrestling school. I'd say it's probably one of the, it's probably the best in the state. And plus, you know, they have their own promotion. So they definitely have a lot of things working for them. I'd say it's probably the best one, in my opinion.
Well, at this point, QT is with us, and I know QT has some questions. So this will help you as I pass things along to QT for a bit.
All right. Well, thank you, Sound Guy. Hello, Seymour.
Hello, QT.
Seymour, the art of dance has long been a minor yet highly sought-after skill in the WWE. About only 6% of the superstars can dance, but they have provided many a memorable moment. Such stars as Rikishi Fatu, Scotty Too Hotty, Fandango, and on occasion, Molly Holly and the Spirit Squad have danced their way into our hearts and collective consciousness. My question is, when accepting applications into your school or academy, do you ask if they have a dance background or maybe a gymnastic floor exhibition routine like Timmy Lou Retton?
I usually ask them if they have a athletic background, just so that they, you know, they know what they're getting into. Dancing and gymnastics are fine. In fact, I would love to find someone that can actually dance and turn them into a wrestler. So that's one of the things I'm looking for. So it's one of my top five questions.
Oh, okay. Top five questions. All right. I kind of instinctively thought that, you know, I mean, it would be great to have someone like Fakishi Fatu enroll in your class, if he could travel back in time. That'd be good. All right. Well, Seymour, back before they had Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, cell phones, and typewriting was taught in high school, most generally defined as anything post-1985, the Chicago Cubs had a flagpole outside Wrigley Stadium. When the Cubs won, they would raise a pennant on this flagpole with the letter W on it, meaning a win. When they lost, they would raise a pennant with the letter L on it for loss. when the school children would get out of school in and around the various neighborhoods of the stadium, they instantly knew if the Cubs had won or lost by looking at the pennants on the flagpole. My question is, do you yourself plan to use a pass or fail pennant once you have finished training a wrestling student from now on?
Well, I would say the clue to a pass or fail is if they can get through a class without vomiting. So as of right now, I've had two vomit on me. So we're working on the second one right now to get them through. But I think when the first one vomited, that was a definite fail. So
okay.
I would say maybe the vomit test would probably be a good one.
Oh, okay, so you're more into having a spill kit ready rather than a pennant, a pass
right.
and fail pennant, a spill kit. Okay, all right, very good. Now, Chef, are you certified yourself in first aid?
I am, actually. I have taken CPR at my job, so I'm quite skilled in it. So not only doing it on adults, but children, too.
Oh, okay, all right. Now, do you have midterms at your school? Midterms.
Not really midterms. More like, can we do the tackle drop-down spot without messing it up?
Okay, all right. Well, Seymour, have you ever had a wrestler enter your academy with a know-it-all attitude like Hulk Hogan once did, and then he had his leg snapped by the instructor? He was a Japanese guy, snapped Hulk Hogan's leg.
You know what I've done was mostly I would make new guys run the ropes, and that would be the last time that I would see them, because once they got done running the ropes, that was the end for them. And not just a couple times, but I had them do it at least 20 or 30 times.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and if any good wrestler knows, or a fan who has felt these ropes, they've got steel cables in them. They're not foam rubber with a like a plastic surrounding a plastic high jump bar. No way.
No, they're pretty rough.
Okay, all right. Well, Seymour, sometimes the best instructors realize that a break from the curriculum, even briefly, can cause a student to come back to the subject matter with new focus and stamina. My question is, have you yourself ever taken your students on a break from running the ropes, Russian leg sweeps, knife-edge chops, and cutting promos, and perhaps taken them out to a field and reenact Civil War battles like the Battle of Bull Run and Pickett's Charge?
No, I've actually had them watch Mark Callis versus Lex Luger matches.
Oh, all right, okay. Now, say if you could travel back in time and take Timmy Lou Redden to a break in the academy and to a field, a grassy field, and be a Union soldier, would he achieve the rank of Lieutenant Colonel, Timmy Lou Redden?
I think he'd probably be a battlefield general considering the war, so.
Oh, okay, yeah, he's been through quite a few wars. Okay, all right. Well, Seymour, have you ever had a student who received too many concussions in your school to make it through? Have you ever had to make that decision that, say he retire early because of health reasons, mostly concussions?
No, I haven't had anyone with concussions. I've had more or less, telling someone to stop doing something because they were doing it wrong, and I really didn't want to see them get killed. So, especially when they take the Beal toss and don't tuck their heads on time and they almost spike themselves. And when they do that, at least the first time, I'm kind of like, let's get out of the ring.
Oh, okay. Yes, I can attest it's very important to check your chin, that's for sure. Yes. Okay. Now, see, what my next question was, do you ever watch old film at your school that features old footage of Mildred Burke, Lou Thesz, Gorgeous George, and perhaps Ed the Strangler Lewis? But you pretty much answered that question.
Well, I like to show them Spaceman Frank Hickey, George the Animal Steel, or any matches featuring Andy Kaufman and Jerry the King Lawler.
Oh, okay. Very good. Jerry the King Lawler and Andy Kaufman was certainly, you know, very, from a historical standpoint, that was great because they had all of American talking after, you know, the talk show where Andy Kaufman slapped. Jerry the King Lawler slapped Andy Kaufman. That, from a historical American standpoint, that was very important. Yes. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, do you bring in old territorial wrestlers as guest speakers? Or have any of them volunteered to stop by your school? Old territorial wrestlers.
We have had interest from Rock Riddle. He's actually been interested in coming down here from California. So there may be an appearance by him here in North Carolina very soon.
Oh, okay. And speaking of North Carolina, what does the term Tar Heel mean?
You know what? I'm actually from California, so I've been wondering about that myself. I still have no clue what that is. I don't know what the state's obsession with Pepsi is either, but I'm a Coke fan, so I pretty much go with that.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that the term Tar Heel had its origins on the Civil War battlefield when several regiments of soldiers from North Carolina saw other state soldiers from surrounding states fleeing in battle, and they said, hey, you better put some tar on your heels and stand your ground. Tar Heels.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Okay, that's – I know I segued there from wrestling, but it would be refreshing to see a wrestler with tar on his heel sometimes. Yes. Okay. All right, well, Seymour, how many ex-military members do you have enrolled in your school, and do you give them a servicemen's or women's discount?
I haven't had too many ex-military come and apply for it yet. Most I've had several law enforcement people that want to get involved, so we do give a special discount to law enforcement men and women, so that is something that we do offer. So, you know, public service as far as firefighters and first aid, first responders.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Well, Seymour, have you had any students make it through your school, then have only 3 to 5 matches, and then decide to switch full-time to referee?
You know what? I haven't had people do that yet. I did have someone that wrestled 3 to 5 matches and just completely quit. So that was definitely a letdown, I'd say. But I have had people that, you know, they've gone through it and they have started refereeing and they do a fine job. So it's just a matter of sticking with it.
Do you see a time when Timmy Lou Redden will pretty much hang up the boots and come back to your school as an instructor?
You know what? I could see that probably, but it would be a long time from now.
Oh, okay. He's too much into traveling right now and establishing, you know, his career. Okay. All right. Well, Seymour, have you ever had a parent or a wife or maybe even a husband who hung around your school too much, offering their opinion on how their sibling or significant other is progressing or should be trained? For example, Sheldon Benjamin's mother.
Oh, no. We've never had the moms or the dads or the husbands or wives around the school. It's usually just the people that are training that are there. So they usually tell their others that, hey, I'm going to go train today, and that's about it. So that's fine with me. It just, you know, they don't, you know, not everybody has to be, you know, involved with the wrestling business.
Oh, okay. All right. Can you give our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans any clue on when you're coming back out to the Pacific Northwest?
It may be either at the end of this year or sometime in 2018.
Wow, very nice. Okay. Well, that pretty much wraps up my questions. I'm going to turn it back over to Sun Guy. Yes.
Thank you, QT. Oh, Seymour, one of the things that is sort of controversial as far as training goes, some schools offer this as part of the curriculum, some do not, and that is etiquette in wrestling. Where do you stand on teaching trainees etiquette before they start appearing on shows and going to promotions as part of their locker rooms?
Well, usually if I'm on the same show as a trainee is, you know, I like to introduce them to everybody, and, you know, they kind of just, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, eyes open, mouth shut, ears open, you know, just, you know, be very, you know, introduce yourself to everyone and shake hands with everyone.
One of the things that I don't know if it's being taught as much or if students just aren't picking up on it as much, but I see a lot of people, not even so much newer guys, but just people in general, forgetting to wipe their boots before they step into the ring. I won't start a match unless people have wiped their boots. Do you teach that part of the business, or is this something that the trainees have to pick up on their own once they're ready and doing shows by themselves?
Well, usually I make them, that's like the first thing before they get in the ring. I always make sure they wipe their feet off before they get into the ring, because, you know, I told it's a sign of respect, and then you don't want to make sure you have anything on the soles of your, you know, feet or shoes at the time when you get in there. You know as well as I do, you know, the ring isn't exactly the cleanest place in the world. So, and, you know, wherever you walk before you get in there, and, you know, it's, you know, it's just one of those things. So, clean, be respectful.
When you're on shows with your own trainees, have you ever had to pull them aside and do a little bit of etiquette training, something that they didn't do, like boot wiping, or if they failed to go and introduce themselves to someone, anything like that?
You know what? I never really had that problem, because most of the guys, most of the people I've trained have been pretty respectful. You know, they always volunteer to help out. There's always guys that are, you know, they come in and they help set up the ring, or they tear down. You know, they're good in the dressing room and stuff like that. So I've never really had that problem with that. You know, like sometimes, you know, I will get on guys if they try to leave, you know, right after the show, you know, and it's like, hey, you know, there's stuff that has to still be done, and, you know, you got to clean up the dressing room. So, but other than that, I mean, I've never really had any serious problems with anyone at all. You know, I have had guys that I've been trying to train, and then they leave, and then I find out they're wrestling other places, and then they like to use me as a reference, and it's like, you know, you never made it through all the way, you know, don't use me as a reference.
Another sort of modern wrestling pet peeve when guys do that. Now, when you're training people out in North Carolina, do you have sort of a network with a lot of the promoters out there and a lot of the other trainers to find out who did legitimately get through the training, who's done what, and sort of police having properly trained guys on shows, or is it something that, like in a lot of places, it isn't really communicated with between promoters and trainers?
Well, there actually is a pretty good network here in North Carolina. There's, you know, you do have a lot of guys that have been trained by, you know, that are legit, you know, you can check on, and it's like, okay, I know who's trained by, and, you know, and that. And then, you know, sometimes you do have the goofs that come around, and, you know, it's like, you know by watching them and that they've actually never really had any real training in that, and they've kind of just been doing it. And it's one of those things a lot of people can pick on or pick up pretty quick and see exactly, you know, who's legitimate and who's not. And yes, we do have like a network of people that kind of do keep up with each other that are like that know each other's reputation.
When guys come in to gouge when they're pretty green yet, are you able to tell who trained the guy by watching one of their matches? Like, do you have like little signs of, okay, this guy was trained by this trainer because he did such and such?
You know, not really. Usually whenever someone green comes into gouge, they're put with Otto Schwanz. So if they can pass the test with Otto, they're okay.
That's kind of a big test off the bat, isn't it?
It is.
Now, looking a little bit to the future, do you see a day when there's going to be some sort of standard for wrestling schools where there's going to be like an accreditation system where you might be able to tell like from one region to the next, okay, this guy has been trained, knows what he's doing, so forth, so on? Or do you see it always going to be some sort of like splintered word of mouth, okay, this guy went here, hopefully he knows this much type of thing?
You know, I think it's going to be splintered because it's really hard to kind of regulate. It's really hard to regulate wrestling. And, you know, sometimes, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that say, oh, you know, it'd be great if we had a union, or it'd be great if we had kind of like licensing and that. But a lot of that falls into, you know, there is like a bureaucracy of that, and there is like, it's just going to be another cost that's going to end up happening. And I think something like that would end up hurting indie shows more than helping them. You know, I mean, I think word of mouth right now is probably the best thing. Watching how guys work and how they perform in the ring, that's another two. Having the reputation of someone that trained them and the people that they know, that's probably the best one.
Oh. Putting on a promoter's hat for just a moment here, if you're promoting shows, what would you look for as far as newer, greener guys and how they may have been trained, where they may have been trained? Would you have like a set system you would want to see them accomplish first, or would you leave that up to whoever trained them to be honest that they are ready for your shows?
Well, the thing I'd like to see is if they have a gimmick or not first, and then give them their match to see what they have. You know, there's no better test, I think, than going out there and having a match in front of a live audience. So as long as they go out there and don't stink up the ring, you know, that's probably the best thing.
One of the more famous schools that is still up and running, it's been around for 20 years at this point, is Ohio Valley Wrestling. They've trained a lot of people in the last 20 years that have gone on to the major national companies, a lot of international companies. They have always had a solid reputation. Have you ever patterned yourself a little bit after the style that OVW runs? Because I know that they had a sort of a set system that I believe they still run to this day as far as training people.
Well, the system I kind of went by was I go by the one that I went through, and that kind of got a little bit modified because when Crash Holly, he had been there before I, you know, like he'd been there years before, and he went to the early WWF training camps when, you know, you had the Funkin' Dojo, which was Dory Funk Jr. and Dr. Tom Pritchard, and they kind of had their own set way of training guys even before, you know, they went to the Ohio Valley School or whatever WWE was using at the time. But they kind of, Crash kind of came in, he came back to APW for a little bit, you know, when he was on vacation or whatever, and he kind of tweaked the training just a little bit. So there was some stuff that they had done in the Funkin' Dojo that the All-Pro Wrestling School did adopt. And, you know, there's a lot of good things about learning the basics from that. But when you're dealing with, you know, going up to that next level, a lot of that, I believe, is more based on, like, your ability to talk and the charisma that you would have. Some people do have charisma and some don't, you know. I mean, you could be a very good wrestler, but an in-ring guy, but if you don't have that entertainment part, you know, it's kind of, it's going to be a mountain.
A lot of guys, like you said, cannot talk, and historically, when that would happen, promoters would assign a manager for them so the manager could do all of the interviews and talking and help with the charisma aspect of it. It's sort of a lost art nationally. Do you get very many people that want to train as managers these days?
You know, the thing is that there are guys that want to become managers, but then the thing that turns them off is that eventually that, you know, they find out they're going to have to get beat up. So they're not really too enthusiastic about getting in a wrestling ring and having someone give them a body slam. They'll try to talk and they'll do okay, and they do kind of try to come up with flashy gimmicks, but eventually, as we all know, you know, managers, while they do get the heat, they are going to have to get that comeuppance one day. And, you know, when guys get in the ring and they get body slammed for the first time, it's a bad day for them.
No, definitely. I referenced it a little bit with QT, but another thing that is very important for a wrestling show, of course, is the role of referee. Referees have to be trained also to get in there. Have you had very many people that came to you for exclusive referee training where that's what they wanted to do out of the gate?
You know, I have had a few that have done refereeing and they do fine. The thing is just, you know, it's like wrestling itself or managing too, is you just really have to keep studying your art to get better, you know. And a lot of guys, you know, when they do referee, it's kind of, you know, they do kind of forget of where they are, you know. You know, the best thing of advice is once you do get that training, you know, is always study your art, because, you know, it's very imperative that you be aware of where you are and what you do in that ring, you know. I know it never really gets brought up, but, you know, a lot of guys could really learn the art of pantomime, you know, and I think that's one of the best things to learn that of when you do come into the business, you know.
That's very true. I have had many interesting casual conversation with guys during matches, which were enabled through the art of pantomime. In your opinion, what do you think is the main thing not being taught enough at wrestling schools in general these days?
I would say the one thing that it really isn't being taught is, you know, there's a lot of guys that really don't work on their I know it sounds bad, but it's like the guys don't really work on their they don't work on their gimmicks, or they don't work on their bodies, you know. You can go through wrestling training and do well, but, you know, you do have to sometimes have that look, you know, no matter what.
I know this is a little bit outdated in 2017, but I know a lot of older wrestlers talked about when they were trained, their trainer would give them a catalog on where to get their boots and their trunks. There was like one or two companies out there, and there weren't a lot of styles and collars, so forth, to choose on. And they would also get a list of promotions where they could potentially wrestle, and maybe the trainer would help them get to one, maybe not. It's a lot different these days, but when guys go through your training, is helping them find gear and helping them find promotions outside of where you're at something that you do?
Usually as far as gear goes, I always tell them, you know, find someone that can sew. You know, the only reputable, you know, there are some good places online that you can find gear to be made. As far as wrestling boots go, you know, everybody, you know, the basic one, I mean, you can always start off with a basic pair from, you know, High Spots is always fine. It's just a, you know, basic pair to start off with. And if you really want to stick with it, you know, there's a lot of companies like in, I think there's one in Puerto Rico and there's one in England that make some really quality wrestling boots. But you do want, when the time comes, just to have something that's really held together well. You know, you know it is going to cost you money, but, it, you know, having something that looks professional is going to go a long way for you.
Absolutely. A lot of what we've talked about has been geared towards trainees and potential trainees, but if you could offer one piece of advice to a fellow trainer, what would that be?
One thing of advice. I would always just make sure you watch out for your trainees. I mean, I know, you know, a lot of guys, you know, they train guys and then it's kind of like, well, good for you, you know, but always watch out for them and make sure they're doing the right thing. You know, you kind of have to be almost like a father figure, really, you know. So, you know, yeah, you know, you got to watch out and make sure, you know, your guys aren't getting ripped off, your guys aren't, you know, out there doing the wrong thing.
All right, and I believe we've been joined by another man that is known to train people. Do we have our Washington-based trainer?
That is I.
Chef, welcome to the show.
Sorry, so late for my phone call there. I was in the middle of a young man's little birthday party.
Oh, understandable. Now, to catch things up a bit, can you tell us what led you to decide to start training people initially?
Well, I took over a local promotion and started promoting myself, and they had a training school at the time, and so I just kind of took over to broaden our pool of local independent wrestlers in our area, because, I mean, that's who, you know, the fans come to see, or their friends, family, and coworkers. So what better way to fill seats than have, you know, guys from your area?
Oh, when you got into the aspect of training, when guys would come to you and want to get trained, what were some of the things that you looked for out of a trainee?
What's kind of weird is you just kind of know. I mean, some people get it, and then there's some that just, I mean, you know, are just super into wrestling. I mean, not even smarts, just, you know, they love wrestling so much and they think it's easy and they see what's done on TV. You know, you just, some people just have that natural athleticism that you know are going to be above and beyond. And then there's the ones that, you know, like myself, I mean, I'm not, you know, some super athlete, but, you know, I adapted and, you know, learned the techniques. And you can just kind of tell after being in the business for a while, you know, there's just something about somebody.
Now, you have had a few successful trainees in your day that have gone on to some great things. When you look at a guy that gets to a bigger stage and they get to the point where they're being noticed by a lot of bigger promotions and they're getting media coverage, what do you feel as a promoter or a trainer, rather, when you see that happen?
Just speaking for myself, you know, I'm not out there for them. You know, if they drop my name, nobody's going to know who I am. I'm just proud to know that, you know, I was able to give them at least the basics to start and what they did with it and them taking it to the next level. To me, you know, it's just personal satisfaction. You know, I don't look for the kudos. You know, I don't expect them to say, oh, well, yeah, I was trained by the chef at, you know, the ICW torture chamber. Nobody's going to know who that is, you know. I was just some guy that happened to, you know, get the opportunity to be able to give them a platform to hone their craft, learn the basics, and then take themselves and, you know, move it to the next level.
As a trainer, I know in our area, and Seymour's not mentioned it as well, he sees it out there some, there's guys that will start training, quit training, open up their own promotion, start training people so they have enough people on a roster to run a show, and those people are trained by someone that isn't trained fully themselves. What goes through your mind when you see that sort of thing happening?
I think it's a shame. It's detrimental to the business because they market themselves as professional wrestling when, you know, there's nothing professional other than they have a ring and people are paying to come see this, and then, you know, they're either putting themselves in danger or the people they're working with or even the fans for that sake, you know, with extreme style wrestling. And to me, it's detrimental to, you know, the hard work that we put in to properly get trained and then to properly train the individuals we're putting on a show.
Agreed. Now, for the people that might be listening today that are thinking about undergoing professional wrestling training, what would be your best advice to them to be ready, and what advice would you give as far as finding a wrestling school that will give them the best benefit?
Well, there's right now there's so many schools out there with big name individuals who are running schools, and they've obviously have been professionally trained somewhere. So that's a good place to start. But if you don't have the money to be able to, you know, go to these locations that are outside, you know, at least Washington, Oregon area, look inside, get to know the local promotions, you know, find out, you know, where the individuals have been trained and who's trained them. And if they actually have a facility to be able to train in or a practice ring that they train their local guys, you know, do research. I mean, the internet's got, you know, unlimited access to all this information, and it'll take you, you know, a couple hours, and you can find out, you know, pretty much anything you want on an individual.
Well, we're just about out of time today, so I'm going to give each of you time to close up here. We'll start with Seymour Snott. If there's anything you'd like to say in closing, plug and promote anything you got, your merchandise, social medias, your favorite pasta restaurant, anything at all, floor is yours.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Seymour Snott. I have a Facebook fan page, which is under Seymour Snott, and an Instagram page as SuperSnott1.
Chef, same drill.
All righty. Well, you can check me out at NorthwestProWrestling.com or on Facebook through Northwest Pro on their Facebook, or you can also check me out at the Pacific Wrestling Federation's Facebook page. We do have a show coming up for Northwest Pro on April 15th at in Vaughan, Washington at the Geese Peninsula Civic Center, and then on April 29th, I will be with the Pacific Wrestling Federation at Port Orchard Eagles, and show times are 7 o'clock. If you're interested in training to be a professional wrestler, you can look me up on Facebook. It's Mark Ferguson, F-E-R-G-A-S-O-N. Send me a private message, or you can get a hold of me through Northwest Pro's Facebook page also. And we have trainings on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, and sometimes on Sundays if we have enough interested students to practice.
Well, gentlemen, it has been a pleasure having both of you with us. I appreciate taking time out of your day to be here. And best of luck. Hopefully I will see both of you relatively soon. Fans, if you're looking to get trained, like they said, find yourself a reputable school, research it, get trained the proper way, and we will be back with you next week. Next Friday, we'll have the return of Big Bully Busick, and next Sunday, it's our tribute to World Championship Wrestling. Should be a lot of fun next week. Make plans to be with us, and we will talk to you then.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.